Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 18th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. And thank you, members, for showing up so promptly. I know we have people with other places to go, and we have several bills, and we're going to start by opening a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3452B. Lori, could you tell us about this bill?
We'd be happy to, Madam Chair. House Bill 3452B defines chronic depredation. It stipulates that nothing in wildlife laws is intended to prevent Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission or Department of Fish and Wildlife from lethally taking wolves to address chronic depredation of livestock, regardless of management status of wolves under Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plans. Describes and specifies circumstances and process for allowed taking of wolves, authorizes person who is landowner or lawful occupant to authorize another person to enter onto land for purpose of taking wolves, requires authorization to be in writing and to include specific information. If a person takes wolves under the Act, person must report taking to ODFW within 24 hours and make reasonable effort to preserve scene of the taking. Until June 30th, 2015, any taking by the commissioner or ODFW under Section 2.2, subsection 2, must be consistent with rules adopted by the commission related to lethal taking of wolves in effect on effective date of Act. It stipulates the Act governs taking of wolves causing damage, declares an emergency, is effective on passage, there's no revenue impact, and there's a minimal fiscal impact connected to your paperwork. It moved off the House floor with a 57 aye, 2 nay, and 1 excused vote.
Great. Thank you very much, Lori. And looks like we have a stellar trio of legislators. So if they'd like to come forward, Senator Hansel, Senator Dinkfelder, and Representative Jensen, please join us. And I know you all have ways and means hearings, so we're happy to see you here first. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. For the record, my name is Bill Hansel, Senator from District 29, which I think at this particular point in time in the history of modern history of Oregon, we've got every wolf pack in Oregon within the district, although Senator Ferrioli may have one in the Baker County area. This bill comes to you with great bipartisan, great bicameral work done on getting it to you as it is. I want to commend the governor's office and the department for their stellar work on helping to craft and create this. For my colleague from the House, Representative Jensen, who introduced the bill in the House, a lot of work has gone into this. For us there in my district, this is a great bill for the producers, and we have I think a lot of support for it. I also want to thank my colleague in the Senate, Senator Dinkfelder, who went to Eastern Oregon in April to find out more about the issue. All three of us spent the weekend out there meeting with livestock producers, the Wolf Committee, Wolf Advocates, the Tribe, and others, and walked literally the ridges and met with farmers on their place to see just what the issues were, and out of that and other work came this bill, and would urge your support for it. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you,
Madam Chair and committee members. I'm State Senator Jackie Dingfeld from District 23. We don't have any wolves yet, but you never know. And there's the famous picture of a coyote on Max that was taken in my district. So they come from all ways. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, especially with my august colleagues on either side. It is not often that you will see as Senator Hansel already mentioned, a bicameral, bipartisan support for a bill that's as controversial as this. And as you all know, wolves is not a new issue to the legislature. Representative Jensen and I have been working on this issue probably together for about a decade. We've worked on overview of the wolf management plan, on wolf compensation. There was a wolf tax credit, I think it was last session, that was instituted. But we've been preparing for wolves. Then they arrived, and we've been dealing with what's the best management approach to balance the recovery of wolf population and also making sure that we're being cognizant of the fact that there are ways of life that are being challenged by reintroduction of wolf into Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. So as Senator Hansel said, this bill before you is a culmination of many months of work. A lot of the kudos and credits go to the stakeholders themselves who sat at the table for 17 months. And I want to applaud folks on both sides of this issue for their willingness to listen to each other and to work to come up with a consensus product, which is what you see in front of you. And I will say that the fact that all of us, Senator Hansel and Representative Jensen and I, were also supportive of that effort, we wanted to see a collaborative effort come forward that we could support in the legislative process. As mentioned, the Governor's Office and the Department of Fish and Wildlife spent a lot of time at the table supporting that effort along with the Department of Justice, and I'd like to thank all the folks who worked hard on bringing together this consensus. If you had asked me a few months ago if we'd be all sitting up here together and with the cattlemen and the conservation groups hand in hand, almost in the back of the room, probably would have said not. So it is really a positive step, and let's hope that we can see more of this collaborative type of consensus process in the future. So with that, I will pass the microphone over to Representative Jensen, who's been diligent at making sure that this was shepherded through the House. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Bob Jensen. I'm a state representative from House District 58. That is the territory of Oregon that runs from basically west of Pendleton and staying in Umatilla County east to the Snake River and the Idaho border. I have the illustrious distinction of having, at present time, not all of the wolf packs in the state. Senator Hansel has me beat in that regard. However, he shares with me two of those wolf packs that have so far turned out to be the habitual predators, if you wish, and part of the reason for some of the concerns that we have in relationship to this bill. I'd like to especially thank my colleagues, Senator Hansel and Senator Dingfelder. Senator Dingfelder and I have worked on a lot of natural resource / endangered species / water issues since we've both been in the building. We've had some difference of opinion a time or two, but the thing is, we've remained good friends through that, and we've worked, I think, very effectively together for the betterment of the state of Oregon. I think this is another example of that. I also would like to express my appreciation to the agency, to the tribes, to the environmental community, and especially to the governor's office for the help that the governor provided and establishing the team that has shepherded, if you wish, this bill along and has helped us get to a point where we can honestly say it's a bipartisan bill. And whether you are pro or anti-wolf and down in this part of your person, this is a bill that recognizes that we, the state of Oregon, have deliberately acted to reintroduce this species back into the natural environment here in the state. And this bill is specifically designed to provide the kind of management tools that ultimately will be necessary in order for us to be successful in that reintroduction of the species back into our environment. So a lot can be said about it and about the trials and tribulations that everybody has gone through. We will forego that, but we'll be delighted to answer any questions, and we would like to thank you very much for hearing this bill, and thank you in advance for your help in getting it out of committee and moving through the Senate floor and ultimately to the governor's office for his signature.
Thank you very much, Representative Jensen, and all three of you for your work on this. And it looks like Senator Hansel had another comment.
Well, one thing I would thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, and again for the record, Bill Hansel. One of the folks or one of the entities that I really want to call out, because they have probably been the ones that have made the major shift from where they started to where they are now that made all this possible, and that's the livestock producers, particularly the cattlemen. If you would have had this bill would not be here for discussion 3 or 4 years ago because of where they were in their attitude towards the reintroduction of the wolves. But I think there's been a major willingness to compromise, shift, and move that if we could manage, as this bill we hope will do, they're comfortable, they were at the table, they were very much involved. We would not have this were it not for their input and their work. So I want to particularly have that on the record, that the livestock, the Oregon Cattlemen's in particular association, have been supportive and very active in the development of this policy.
Thank you for that comment, and we'll be hearing from them shortly. They signed up to testify as well. Any questions from committee members? Okay, it looks like you've answered them all, and I know you have other places to go, so we'll let you be on your way. And thank you again
for bringing
this to us.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee.
And next, we have three more people signed up to testify, and I'll call them all together. Kurt Melcher, Ron Anglin, and Jim Welch. The three of you would like to come forward. And while they're coming forward, I'll just mention to people that might be listening to this hearing, either in the hearing room or out on the internet, that there are several pieces of written testimony that are posted in regard to this bill on OLIS, and that includes a description of the legal settlement that's been referred to, as well as several other letters of support for the bill from various different groups. And so I see the agency here. Would you like to go ahead?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kurt Melcher, Deputy Director of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We do have Brett Brownscombe here as well from the Governor's Office. He may want to say a few words, and I'll be very brief because I know you have an agenda.
He was almost out the door.
Oh, was he? Maybe I'll speak for him. So, I'll be very, very brief. The department worked over, as was mentioned, over the course of the last several years on this final resolution. This bill accomplishes a number of things that are very important to the department as well as livestock producers. Once and for all, it clarifies the department and the commission's authority for lethal activities as it relates to wolf management. It clarifies and provides additional flexibility to livestock producers for permitless take in the case of chronic depredation when wolves are chasing, attacking livestock. And it provides additional clarity with regard to non-lethal measures and I'm drawing a blank here, and the implementation of our wolf management plan. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I do have Ron Anglin here if there's specific implementation questions that you all might have. Otherwise, I'll be happy to turn the microphone over.
Great. Thank you very much. Go ahead, please.
Chair Rosenbaum, committee members, Jim Welch here for Oregon Cattlemen's Association, and we just wanted to, I know what we sent our letter in to you. You have that along with the governor's letter, but we just wanted to thank those who were involved in the settlement talks, certainly the governor's office, the department, and the conservation groups for their perseverance, because it's right down to just a couple weeks ago in resolving a number of issues. It was not easy, and it took a lot of perseverance. And we want to thank Senator Dingfeller for her efforts and her travel to the east to take a look at this issue, and certainly Senator Hansel with the help that he provided over there in the department, also Representative Jensen, and we can't forget Representative Smith and Bence in the last several years and their efforts also. and the 27 House members who voted for this and passing it on to the Senate. And with that, we just are more than happy to say a good bill should pass, so we'll go forward. Thank you.
Great. Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. And I do see the governor's office is in the room, but not coming forward, so I imagine that Brett Branscom from Governor Kitzhaber's staff is here in case there are any questions about this. And I do not see any questions from committee members, so looks like we're
thanks
howling in approval of this bill. Okay, members, that completes our sign-up sheet, and we are in a work session. Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3452B to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 3452B to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there discussion on this motion? And not to prolong this, but I too would like to just join the chorus of howls of approval for this carefully crafted resolution. I think it is really and truly remarkable that there has been a masterful balancing of the interests of ranchers and cattlemen and environmentalists and the wolves themselves. I think all of those who participated in this really do deserve a debt of gratitude from us for working this out. It's quite remarkable. Further discussion? Okay. Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries, and we will ask Senator Hansel to carry this on the floor, and I will close the public hearing and work session on House Bill 3452, and then we will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 19, and I see that the Senate President is with us, if he'd like to come forward, and Lori, could you tell us what this is?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 honors Richmond Elementary School on its 100th anniversary. There is no revenue or fiscal impact on the measure.
Thank you, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair, President Brown, Vice Chair Farioli, and Senator Devlin, and Senator Starr, Senator Burdickson. The Administrator, Lori Brock. I know some of you don't like these things, but that's the way it has to be. My name is Peter Courtney, State Senator, District 11, includes Woodburn, Jervis, parts of Salem. I introduced this bill to honor the Richmond School, which is right up the road, right up there. It's in Felony Flats, if you like the further, and I can comment on that if you want to do later. 100 years ago, September 23rd, 1912, employed only 5 teachers at the time. Today it has 14 teachers, 9 additional licensed education professionals, and 24 staff. In the early years, the students participated in letter writing, penmanship, and music memory contests. They raised money for the war efforts and for the Armenian Refugees Fund. 34, the Richmond School became one of the first in the country to serve lunch, which cost 10 cents. National leaders. I did not know this until I read this thing. Is Edith Green. You probably don't remember Edith Green, but she began her career as a sixth grade teacher at Richmond. She went on to become a Congresswoman Edith Green when she defeated Tom McCall in 1954, a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. She served 10 terms championing federal funding for education, earned the nickname Mrs. Education. She was a very close friend of the late President Gerald Ford. I know that because I visited her. And Charbonneau and her dog, Mr. Speaker, on many occasions back in 84 when I made an unsuccessful attempt for Congress, and you would not believe it, but she supported me. Oh, well. Didn't make it. Okay. 1946, Matilda Giles became the first principal, served until 1968. She became a leader in education, state and nationally. It's a, just to go on, it's a few more things about the school. I know you're very busy dealing with wolves and other things. 1948, school began the tradition of hosting a booth at the state fair. In 54, it received national acclaim and press coverage for the school luncheon program, which became part of the school instructional program. 63, students cooked pioneer stew, a stew in a 100-year-old kettle that became to Oregon in the 1880s via the covered wagon in the 1970s. It was established, were established, which caught Spanish speakers, English, and English speakers, Spanish, and the same education that didn't come out very well. I don't know if that reads right. And then just a few more things. Richmond became the first school in the state of Oregon to employ Title I. Parents as teachers program, second step curriculum, first step program, partnership with Head Start on the campus, family building blocks. And I can go on and on and on, but you're very busy and I won't do that. I don't like to read too many of these things. I just realized 2012, their principal was on my Hood to Coast team. I did not realize that, but she was actually on my Hood to Coast team and she ran considerably faster than I ran. But that wouldn't interest you either. So, this is a very historic school, and I'm told that there he is. Jim Green of the Oregon School Board Association. I can't recognize him. This is his grade school, which surprised me. Isn't that right? It's your grade school? Is that your grade school?
One of them.
Oh, one of them. Well, I guess, I guess he had trouble someplace. I don't know what that story's all about. I meant it as a compliment. For all I know, he had some serious problems at Richmond. He's on the school board now, and I'm not sure he even realizes where this school is. But apparently he had something to do with this school. He told me that was his elementary school. I was like, I got to be nice to it. I tried to be nice to it, and I realized that maybe for a day it was, and then he may have moved on to other schools. So, thank you for considering this. I really like this school. It's right up here, and that neighborhood has struggled for a while. We've brought it back as a remedial area because back in the old days, to be frank with you, until we passed the Ship 'em Back bill, you don't know what that bill is. It was a bill that Kevin Mannix introduced in the 89 session. Everybody coming out of OSP, they just went and lived right there. I'm telling you, they live right there, and I don't want to be pejorative, but it did create some issues. And so I guess, Senator, I'm surprised, Senator Starrs acts like there was body language. He knows what I'm talking about, which surprised me, because that's a very local issue that caused the Ship 'em Back bill, to be very frank with you, which is a historic piece of legislation. I helped Representative Mannix with it, but I want to give Kevin all the credit in the world. It transformed in how we return people coming out of our prisons back to the county from which they came, and at least for a period of year before they could come back. So, thank you, Chair. Take any questions, comments, or criticisms. I love this school.
Thank you very much, Senator Courtney, and I'm glad that you could be here. And in addition to a former student who apparently is in the room, we also have a current student from Richmond Elementary who's sitting in the front row, and her name is Bailey.
Hey, Bailey.
So it looks like we have one empty chair at the dais. So if Bailey, you would like to come forward.
Bailey, you're going to do a lot better than I did. You got a better name than me, Bailey.
And Bailey signed up on our witness sheet. She did the whole thing here, and I know that she's here with her family, including Ted Hughes. So, hi, Bailey.
Hi.
So, you want to tell us something about your school? Just what's your name first?
Bailey.
And you go to Richmond School? What grade are you in?
First grade.
That's great. Is it a good school?
She just graduated from kindergarten.
I hear that you just graduated from kindergarten and you're going into first grade. Well, that's a big deal. Well, congratulations. We're glad that you could be here today. And we actually have a presentation for you. And so I'm going to leave the podium for a minute and bring you a pin with the state seal on it. And perhaps our vice chair to preside in the meantime.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The state seal, the great seal of the state of Oregon, symbolizes our particular position in the West as the state that is sort of the sunset state and the great objective of the Oregon Trail and the Great Migration. So that state seal is presented to you, Bailey, in honor of your testimony on Senate Concurrent Resolution 19. So we hope you will wear it with pride. And Mr. Green, since you are also an alumni of this illustrious school, we would like to present you with a pin also, so that all of the students that came today to testify in favor of SCR 19 are recognized with a memento. We hope you will wear it proudly.
John, we're going to say happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Bailey, did you want to say something about your school?
Happy birthday.
Happy 100th birthday.
Yay.
Yay. Bailey.
That's good. Great. Well, thank you.
And Mr. President, happy 70th birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you, what
Bailey,
a great birthday present.
I was opening at first grade with you. I guess I did that. Sorry.
Great. Okay, this is going to be a very tough act to follow, but Senator Courtney, if you would stay put, I know you want to also testify on another resolution. So, Senator Ferrioli, did you have a motion?
Madam Chair, we do not have a pin for the Senate President today. Sorry. Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Ferrioli has moved SCR 19 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Courtney, would you be so kind as to carry SCR 19 on the floor?
Yes, Chair, I might be pleased to carry the SCR 19.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And I'll close the public hearing and work session on SCR 19. And I'll open a public hearing and work session on SCR 20. And Lori, could you please tell us about this one?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 20 memorializes Dr. Dean Brooks, who lived from 1916 to 2013. There's no revenue or fiscal impact on the measure.
Great. Thanks, Lori. Senator Courtney, welcome back.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Perry, Senator Beyer, Senator Starr, and Senator Bricht, and Administrator Lori Brock. I'm glad. I'm Peter Courtney again, the State Representative, District 11. I'm glad they asked me to introduce this because I thought I knew about Dean Brooks, and I didn't know anything about him, as it turns out. He's the former superintendent of the Oregon State Hospital, but he became famous because he played in One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest as the actual superintendent, so he gained fame in that famous movie. But we lost him recently, and this is a memorial honoring him as the former superintendent of state police. He was the superintendent, from 55 to 1981. I did not know that he had headed up that institution for that long, some 29 years. During his career, he never had a patient file a complaint against him. That is also, I believe, remarkable to be the head of a mental health facility for that number of years, especially during those are troubling times. We're still struggling with the mental health facilities and our approaches and attitudes toward mental health, but I think it's remarkable that no patient filed a complaint against him as the superintendent. He was also a significant advocate for patients, for empowering them, taking their concerns seriously. His approach to patient interaction must have permeated every aspect of his patient interaction, so much so that he could feel his kindness even in the darkest days. He is considered to have been an individual who was ahead of his time. We all know that he was one of the ones who allowed filmmakers into the hospital. He was the one that apparently allowed filmmakers into the hospital so they could film the famous One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I guess when I've seen that movie so many times, I guess you would have to have permission. You just couldn't go in there with a film crew and start filming, especially since they used actual inmates, patients, watch out, Peter, as well as the superintendent himself. So he allowed them in. He believed it would be good for the patients who would participate, and he believed it would bring awareness to mental illness. He was also always vocal about the movie as an allegory, not as a documentary. It was a movie about the abuse of power, the dehumanization of parents. You may remember Nurse Ratched was as famous as Jack Nicholson. And it's a pathos movie. It's a very, I struggle with the movie. I love the movie, but I think it's interesting, his analysis. Bushels of Shoes. On September 15, 1969, Dr. Brooks gave a speech before the Association of Medical Superintendents of Mental Hospitals at a meeting in Houston, Texas. In it, he described an experience while visiting a mental health facility on the East Coast that affected his outlook on the institutions across this country. While visiting a ward, he stumbled across a basket of shoes. Women living on the ward were required to take off their shoes at the end of the day and put them in the basket. The next morning, women would return to the basket and retrieve a pair of shoes on a first-come, first-served basis. This bushel of shoes to Dr. Brooks was yet another way that institution dehumanized patients. This experience led to the creation of a task force at the state hospital that included patients, staff, and community members. The task force identified 25 areas of concern in which patients could have more input in personalization: clothing, bathing, grooming, recreation, eating, living space, etc. Dr. Brooks also pioneered a program we now call ecotherapy, in which he took 51 long-term chronic patients into the wilderness for 16 days. That reminded me, if you did see the movie where Jack Nicholson goes to Depot Bay, it takes him on a fishing trip, which turns into a remarkable experience. He has to violate the rules to do it. It's a remarkable part of the movie, and I wonder if Dr. Brooks didn't have something to do with that part of the movie suggesting that. He also felt the patients needed to feel empowered to do for themselves. They went hiking, rock climbing, and whitewater rafting. Life magazine documented this excursion in a 10-page spread and detailed some patient struggles. One patient learned that no one could climb, hike, or walk for her. In order to overcome the obstacles, she had to put on one foot in front of the other and do it herself. That patient went on to leave the hospital in the coming months, as did many others. Dr. Brooks held the system together during a long period of time when the legislature and the public preferred to ignore it. And I'm not going to point fingers, but if you could have visited the hospital as we did with Karen Minnis and I on that famous 2005 day, you would have understood the might of that statement. In 1995, when Speaker Minnis and I led the charge, to replace the state hospital, he was there as an advocate at 79 years young. So, in conclusion, he never missed an opportunity to advocate for the state's mental health system, for the new hospital, or for the patients it served. As an accidental mental health advocate, I admire his commitment to Oregonians who would live otherwise swept under the rug. So I really am glad I introduced this, not at my own request, others urged me to, because it allowed me to do some research on this remarkable person that I had no idea of his background, and I do think it's quite remarkable. Thank you for letting me testify a second time in front of your august committee. I'll take questions, comments, or criticisms.
Thank you, Senator Courtney. Any questions
Senator
or comments?
Chair, we would yes, never Senator criticize Brittick. You on your birthday, Mr. President.
Or any other day.
Maybe I'm
Well, that's not true. I was criticized rather severely on the Senate floor today. One of my pieces of legislation just broke my heart. I'm in therapy over.
So I just wanted to thank you for bringing this forward. I think it's particularly appropriate that Senator Courtney brings this because of his incredible advocacy for the state hospital and the patients and the people that work there. I had the honor of serving as co-chair of a task force mm-hmm. with Senator Courtney when I was yes. still in the House, and there was still a tremendous amount of work to be done. But I think, like you, I was learning more than I knew about Dean Brooks when mm-hmm. I read his obituary, and it sounds like even after he retired, he continued to be vigorous and active and did a great deal of terrific work in the Salem and Marion County community on mental health and other issues. So sounds like he was going strong right up until the time that he passed away.
Good.
And he was in the movie, too.
Well, he sure was. And you know what, Chair? He was good. I thought he was good.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, thank you very much for bringing this to us. We'll let you get about your duties, and I think you have a birthday party to attend, too. Senator Farrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 20 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farrioli has moved SCR 20 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll ask Senator Courtney to carry this on the floor, and I'll close the work session on SCR 20. And we, I guess, have no one signed up for the other bills. Some of them are work sessions and some are public hearings. So how about if we go to go to a work session on 2233 next. Okay, I'll open a work session on House Bill 2233A. And members, you'll recall that we heard this at our previous hearing, and we I'll let Lori confirm this, but we adopted a Dash A7 amendment. We did not have the paperwork to be able to move the bill out that day, so now it's back before us. Lori?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you did on the 12th of June adopt the Dash A7. I can go over that summary if you need, and I have hard copies. It's also an OLIS if you need to review that. And we did not have all the paperwork. We do now, so there's no revenue impact, and there's a minimal fiscal impact that is attached to your hard copy SMS that's before you.
And the agency, the Marine Board, is in the room, I'm sure, to answer any questions, if there are any, but it does seem like we had a pretty thorough discussion about this at our last hearing. So I don't see any questions. Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2233A as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 2233A as amended with the Dash A7 amendment to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, motion carries. And I believe that it was Senator Roblin who came and testified on this in our initial hearing, so I think we'll ask Senator Roblin to carry this on the floor, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2233. And where shall we go next? How about if I open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 32? Lori, could you tell us about this one?
I'm happy to, Madam Chair. House Concurrent Resolution 32 memorializes Lynn Lundquist, who lived from 1934 to 2013. There's no revenue or fiscal impact on the measure, and it moved off the House floor with 59 aye votes and one excused.
Okay, thank you, Lori. We don't have anybody signed up to testify. Was there anybody here to testify on HCR 32? I think we will have people with us, I'm sure, when we have this on the floor. I know that it came as a real shock. I can remember the day that I was sitting in a meeting and someone passed me a note that former Speaker Lynn Lundquist had passed away very suddenly, and it was really tragic, and I remember him well from just his incredible service in the legislature, and then later as the first executive director of the Oregon Business Association. So there's no doubt that he's made a huge and lasting contribution to life in our state. I did open a work session, yes. Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, I move House Concurrent Resolution 32 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved HCR 32 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr.
So I must have been absent the day that this was passed around to get as a sponsor of this resolution. So I'd just like, for the record, to let folks know that I fully support it. I'm served with Lynn. Incredibly sad to see Lynn's passing, and I'll check with the chief clerk about getting my name added as a sponsor here. So.
Yes, definitely. Further discussion? Okay, is there any objection to the motion? Motion carries. And did we have a, well, I guess, again, Senators Courtney and Winters were the chief sponsors, so I don't know if we had had a request by someone to carry this. Well, how about if we ask Senator Starr, would you like to carry it? Or we could ask Senator Winters and then see if there's somebody else.
I'd be happy to if Senator Winters didn't want to.
Okay, so we'll assign it to Senator Starr, and then he and Senator Winters can work it out. Okay, and I'll close the work session on HCR 32. I think that just leaves one bill, and that is I'll open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3159B. And Lori, would you tell us about this?
Madam Chair, 3159B, House Bill 3159B, requires cities with populations greater than 15,000 establish maximum rates. Tourism charge for towing motor vehicle within city boundaries. It permits the counties to establish maximum towing rates in county areas outside of cities with populations greater than 15,000. Provides authority to cities with population under 15,000 to set maximum charge for towing. If county fails to do so, requires towers obtain annual license from city or county of towing vehicles without prior consent. Requires city or county to develop process for receiving and responding to towing complaints. Requires towers hold license from city or county to tow within jurisdiction. It prohibits the tower from charging for hookup and release of a vehicle except as provided in ORS 98.856. Becomes operative January 1st, 2013. Declares emergency effective on passage. That actually is the summary, without the dash B14. The dash B14 amendment, which is attached to your hard copy SMS and is also on OLIS, removes the requirement that cities greater than 15,000 establish maximum towing rates. It allows cities to establish those maximum towing rates regardless of city population. It specifies the county rates do not apply to vehicles towed within city boundaries if city establishes maximum towing rates. Clarifies tower is not required to obtain county license if tower tows vehicle from within city boundaries and tower is licensed by city. There's a minimal fiscal impact, no statement issued, also attached, and we are currently waiting for the revenue. I'll double check. It wasn't. I'm hopeful that as I check right now, it was not here about a half hour ago, but could move forward on adopting as I check, if you want to.
The amendment. And members will recall that this came to us via the floor, and I know that Senator Beyer has been hard at work on these amendments. So Senator Beyer, did you want to talk about this?
Sure, just briefly. You'll recall that when it first came to us on the floor, we hadn't heard this bill. It was a requirement, and at that point, I wondered why we needed to mandate cities to do something which I thought they had the power to do under their policing, general policing powers in general. As I discovered later, there are three cities, I believe, that have similar or have these kinds of policies in place, Gresham, Portland, and Eugene. There has been some question raised, apparently, I think regarding the Portland, some have raised whether they indeed have the authority to do it or not, and that largely emanates from the fact that ODOT licenses towing companies, and there's a question is who's in charge, if you will. But ODOT says they can't really regulate these per se, so what this amendment does doesn't mandate anybody. It just clarifies that cities and counties have the authority within their jurisdictions to license and establish standards for towing. I believe people are supportive of that. I believe the towing industry is supportive of that. And with that, I think it's a good clarification in law.
And we do have the right there. Great. Okay. Well, thank you, Senator Beyer, for that explanation. And it looks like while we were talking, we did find that there is a no revenue impact statement in OLIS, so we have a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact on these amendments. And we are in a work session. Senator Beyer, did you want to move the amendment?
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash B14 amendments dated 6/14/13 to House Bill 3159B.
Senator Beyer has moved the B14 amendment to House Bill 3159. Is there discussion on the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 3159B as amended by the dash 14 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 3159B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion?
Madam Chair,
yes,
I would
Senator
be voting
Farrell.
No.
Okay, Mike, could you please call the roll on the motion? Is there further discussion? Okay, Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Schor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barry Oldham?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Beyer, would you like to carry this on the
sure.
floor? Great. So I'll close the work session on House Bill 3159. Members, just a reminder, we are meeting again tomorrow because we love this so much, we want to do it again. And we're going to be meeting tomorrow at 3 p.m. Is that right, Lori?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. So we will see you tomorrow at 3. And with nothing further to come before us today, we are adjourned.
Oh, it's okay.